Hey everyone, welcome back to Top 5, brought to you by Define Talent. We are a results-driven service working with clients to connect them with quality talent, as well as working to make an impact within the recruiting industry. We talk straight about today's professional world with real-world professionals, experts in recruitment, job seekers, and business owners alike. Have a question for us? Send it in and you might spur our next conversation. I'm Tara Thurber, co-founder and director of talent partnerships here at Define Talent. And joining me today is Brandon Wettstein, founder and chief team builder at Innate Create. Hey, Brandon, how are you today?
Hey Tara, I'm fantastic. Happy to be here.
Awesome. I just want to dive right in because I want to get to the meat and potatoes of this. But tell us a little bit about yourself and why you started Innate Create.
Absolutely. I spent most of my career working in big corporations, Fortune 50, large companies, and one of the most common challenges I found is I constantly worked with smart, intelligent, inspiring people as individuals. And yet when we got together as groups and teams, that intelligence never seemed to fully come together, right? I think teams, as we work together, there's so much to be had. There's so much benefit to how we collaborate, how we work together. Yet I think general group dynamics sometimes makes it really hard to do that effectively. And I constantly was walking out of meetings going like, well, that didn't go as well as we thought it should have, right? I know I'm not the only one who's had that inkling. And so I started Innate Create, and I named my organization Innate Create because I believe that we have so much more to offer, so much more to offer, so much more to give, whether it's ideas, insights, knowledge. And I just know with the right tools, with the right methods, that we can be better together. And that's what I'm hoping to do more of, right? Help teams be better together.
I love that so much, Brandon. And it's going on a lot out there where, coming together as teams and doing things together and building that culture together, you get to learn more about each other. And there's different ways that people communicate. There's different ways that people problem solve. And by coming together and learning those ways from on how other people are, I feel that teams can even come closer together.
Absolutely. And especially now when we're in this like just this weird space, right? Where now there's a handful of people are back in the office, and most of them are not that happy about it. And we've got, right, the hybrid folks who are a little bit from home and a little bit at work, and they're still figuring out what does that flow look like and how do we truly amplify that time together. And then we've got the fully remote workers, right? Which is super cool and convenient, but there's a trade-off there, right? And although convenience is amazing, I mean, I work remote, but I know that in-person connection, right, is missing now, right? Like we don't have true eye contact. We don't have oxytocin, right, flooding through our veins because we haven't seen each other physically. So how do we utilize various tools or methods to get people to connect, to get them to work better together? That's why I love what I do. And it is a blast. And I do it with Legos, which makes it even more fun, right? At the end of the day.
I'm so excited. So let me ask, how do Legos, of all the toys that are out there, how do Legos promote communication and collaboration among team members? And what role does this play in fostering stronger team dynamics?
Absolutely. Fantastic question. Because you would think Legos, they're just a toy, right? It's just Lego. What do you mean, Legos? And Lego has been used in tons of team buildings over the years. In fact, I meet people constantly at conferences and tours. They tell me about their Lego team building experience. But one of the things, I'm using a unique methodology called Lego Serious Play. This is not something I made up. I wish I was this smart. Back in the late 90s, the chairman of Lego really wanted to find a way to inject creativity and imagination into strategy. And so they created this group that built this, they built this method called Lego Serious Play. And if we were having this conversation 20 years ago, you would be talking to Lego. They sold this as a consulting service. They would come in and teach your company how to run these, right, really unique, really amazing workshops using Legos. Now Lego's clearly been pretty successful,
Just a little bit.
a
I
little
mean,
bit, right? And so they don't really do consulting work anymore, at least not with this methodology. So now anyone can go out and get their hands on this methodology and either get certified or read books and figure out how to do it, which is what I did. I was certified in 2019. But what I've done is I've adapted this to really create short, really immersive and impactful sessions where there's a lot of insight shared in a very short period of time. And so how does this really kind of drive communication and collaboration is people are building Lego models using metaphor and storytelling. So they're not actually building ships, they're not building planes, they're building thoughts, they're building stories. And so a question I might ask would be, build a model that tells a story about who you are outside of work. Now you can answer that in whatever way you want, right? There's no right or wrong answer. That's one of the major keys of Lego serious play. There's no right or wrong answer. Whatever you build is 100% correct because I'm asking your opinion. I'm asking about your story. And so this really drives communication and collaboration because everyone gets a chance to build a model. They all have the same kit of Legos. And then everyone gets to tell their story, right? This is what I built. This is what this means. So you're hearing everyone at the table. Everyone gets a voice. And the model also makes it so it compresses information a little bit. So most people can tell their story in 90 seconds or less, which is kind of amazing because I don't think most people can't tell a story in 90 seconds, but the model holds a lot of the communication. And so you get a lot of information in a little bit of time. What that really means is you also get to listen to everyone, right? I look at this weird little model that you built and you look at mine and I'm curious, what did Tara build, right? What did you build? What did that other person build? So it just creates this playful way for us to really communicate and listen to each other. And that really helps drive that connection. And really the collaboration, because we're all listening to each other.
I love that, and I think communication is key, especially when you're in a team setting. I think a lot of people will go into a team setting or a meeting and everybody's off, everybody has their own world. Everybody has their own things and going on. And so to be able to come together and listen and learn, you all become one. Essentially, on this team as you go through this process together. This seems so awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's amazing to see how it really completely removes our normal environment. And that's one of the things that always wowed me, right? Doing workshops and my previous lives, like we always need like a facilitated methodology to get us out of that normal, like let's all just sit in a room and talk, because there's a reason that doesn't work that well, right? And we can't do it. We can't workshop everything, right? But there's a time where you're like, okay, no, like we really need to like think, be thorough with our thoughts and make sure all, everyone gets a voice. And but when we do that, that's when we walk away with the solutions where you're going, yeah, this makes sense. Like we did the work, right? We did the hard work to come out with the solution that we needed. And that's I think this Lego method really just makes it much easier to do that, as it takes away the group dynamic stuff that generally gets in our way.
Absolutely. So in what ways would you say using Legos in team building activities can enhance problem solving skills, also facilitate creativity and innovation within teams in a group setting?
Yeah, absolutely. And going back to the method itself, is there's a couple things going on. One is we're in a playful setting, and this is a very important delineation to make. Whereas some might kind of go, oh, it's just play, and maybe toss that to the side. This is actually what you want, right? When you think about creativity and imagination and getting better ideas and getting outside of your own way, play is actually the place you want to be. Think about it, right? When we grow up, we look at kids, play is a way where we expand our minds, right? Where no ideas are bad ideas. The best brainstorms out there are built around quantity of ideas. You want volume. You don't want to judge things and push down people's ideas or thoughts. So this playful, imaginative state is where you want people to be. And when you give them a bunch of Lego bricks and say, like, go nuts, right? Have some fun with this. What also really happens is people pour their energy into that. And this is one of the things I found too, where instead in a group setting, right, especially when we're looking at ideating or right, trying to problem solve, we are for good reason, but we are persuasive creatures. We're trying to write show, we're trying to prove our place in the group. We're doing more than just solving, right? Where there's a whole lot of ego and positioning and things going on
Right.
that get in the way, right? Or maybe you're the introvert who doesn't speak up at all because you're maybe not confident to, tell the extrovert who hasn't stopped talking for the last hour, like, to be
Yep.
quiet. But then now, instead of being that persuasive person, like, how do I show up as the smart person? How do I show up as, like, how do I get my idea to be the best? That energy is now really pushed into how do I make a really creative and compelling model? And so now you're starting to think about what is a great answer to this question, right? And so I think of some of the interesting questions I've asked in various workshops, like around communication, like, what does world-class communication look like? What does that mean to you? Okay, well, here you go. And of course, I don't give people a half hour, right? They can sit all day and
Right.
build with Legos in this. I'm given maybe 3, maybe 5 minutes. You're like, go, right? So
Wow.
your brain is working in a completely different way than it normally would. In fact, when we're verbally speaking, we're usually only accessing our prefrontal cortex. But
Right.
when we're working with our hands, we're actually accessing many more parts of our brain that aren't normally lit up in regular conversation. So you're actually getting more of your knowledge access. You're hitting more parts of your brain. You're lighting up more neuron networks, which can spark new ideas and different thoughts. Also, you're building it out of 3D and a Lego bricks, right? It's something you can physically see. And so you can constantly play and manipulate your model again within the time constraints given.
Right.
But you get to see your idea. And that's kind of amazing, right? It's saying it's one thing, writing it down is another, but suddenly you've built this model. And then you start to get more ideas as you build it, as you expand on it, and you can play with it. You can flip it around. You can also be a little bit less attached to it, though, which is, I think, is also important when it comes to ideas. Because a lot of times when we think of it in the innovation space, like, we love our ideas. They're our babies.
Yep.
We came up with them.
Yeah.
But suddenly this thing is external to us now. It's a little bit easier maybe to look at it as outside of us. It's a little bit easier to share it and maybe, see that. Yeah, it is a cool idea, but now I just saw eight other ideas around the table, and I can see how they're similar in some ways to others. So this is really where I think it comes into problem solving, innovation, creativity. It's taking just that normal way we do things and completely flipping it from externalizing it, making it 3D, allowing you to see everyone else, but also putting a little bit of time pressure on it so you can't sit all day, right? But also play, like, make it fun, make it creative,
Yeah.
go for unique.
Right. Well, and I think that that's super interesting too, because it almost breaks down some walls for individuals. And I think that that can be really huge in a team setting because, you're all on the same playing field at that point with the use of what's been put in front of you, and you all get to then create something out of really nothing to bring it to the table. So everybody gets to do it at the same time within the same time constraints, and it kind of blossoms the new ideas or the camaraderie. And this kind of goes into my next question in regards to, how can the tactile nature of Lego construction contribute to not only this communication and creativity and innovation, but how does it contribute to the teams with building trust and camaraderie around the team members? And, how does that translate to improve performance in a professional setting too?
Yeah, great question. I think for me, a lot of it is the information that comes out in these
Right.
sessions. Because
Yeah.
again, like, the Lego, it is super cool, but at the end of the day, right, it's a method to get at information. And I think you just said it perfectly. It breaks down walls and barriers that are normally there. And one of the things that happens within play is a great book out there, aptly titled Play by Dr. Stuart Brown. And there's eight attributes of play. One of the key attributes is a diminished consciousness of self. When we are
Wow.
in a playful state and we're playing, we don't necessarily think about ourself in the moment, right? We're not necessarily playing, I want to say, playing politics with ourself. Like, okay, what if I
Right.
say this? How will I look, or how will this go? And not everyone's always like that. Many people are, right? You're
Yep.
constantly aware of how you are viewed in the setting. And I'm not saying that goes away 100%, but it's greatly reduced. And
Right.
you start to see really interesting things happen. You start to see commonalities come up. I did a
Wow.
session in Northern California where I think 8 out of 32 people had a hobby of growing citrus. Where did that come from? What? So these folks all were going to connect, right? And start sharing and swapping stories, right? That's a connection that didn't exist before. Another group had all 5 or 6 people had all adopted dogs within the past year. So you see these unique pieces of information come up, but you also see individuals who maybe aren't normally comfortable in the group dynamic situations. These are potentially more of the folks with the introverted type or possibly even neurodivergent that come out and build and share these stories. And you see the entire room, their jaws kind of drop. You're like, I never knew that about you. Like, this person composes symphonies on their off time, or they build video games for fun. And again, these folks are sharing, usually not super deep, like, right? They're sharing information that they maybe didn't have a vehicle to share before. And this creates connection and depth and dimension. And I think especially now, and especially with remote teams, that's extremely important, right? Because that's where I think a lot of that water cooler talk or those casual conversations that have gone away, that doesn't occur, right? And we need to know that depth and that dimension with each other, because that's what's going to happen when we need to ask for help on a project. I'm going to feel more comfortable doing that because Tara knows who I am as a person, not just as a coworker. Or when conflict arises and we need to figure out a way to work through that, like, we're going to have empathy for each other because we understand a little bit again about who we are as people, not just this transactional coworker state. And I think companies know that. They understand that relationships are important, but it's hard to. Like, you can't force people to have relationships at work. So what you can do is have events like this where you give people the opportunity to connect, to share about themselves, and then that way familiarity grows. And so when there is opportunity to help one another or to collaborate or to get through conflict, it becomes easier and even more enjoyable when you have those relationships built.
I love all of this, and my brain keeps going and going. And I think you actually posted something around empathy recently that caught my eye, because empathy is where it begins, from the top down. If you can show empathy, that's where there is room to grow. There's room to become more connected. There's room to have that camaraderie, because everybody, and hybrid or fully remote, it's not this work-life balance anymore. It's a blend. And if you don't know anything about the people that you're working with on that personal level, how can you really connect with them on that professional level and be able to work together, be able to understand one another's communication style or one another's problem-solving style? So by opening up the doors like this, I just find it phenomenal. And I think about play, and you're right. You almost part of that ego disappears when you're playing, because you're not worried about what you look like or what you're saying or how you're doing something, because you're just being in the flow.
Exactly. I perfectly stated. Like, it's all about that flow state and getting in. And yeah, you lose track of time, right? That's the coolest part about flow and having that diminished consciousness of self. You're just fully immersed in the activity, and you don't have time to think about, right? No, you don't want to, right? You don't want to. You're immersed in this activity. Yeah, and there's I feel we could talk for a whole other hour about just the benefits of play in general. I mean, we go up,
We
I have
need
some.
more play during
We
the
just
days.
do. We
Yep,
do.
I
This weird
agree.
thing happens when we hit that like middle, like that teenage years where suddenly we're trying to distance ourselves from that child us and we're trying to become adult us, and we throw play on the pile, and many people don't pick it back up again. And it's man, when we do, what? It's not only is it enjoyable, but we grow, we learn, we connect, we're able to do so many amazing things when we play. It's almost like a superfood of activities, if you will.
I love it. I love it. And for the stuff that you're doing, the sessions that you do, you can do them in person and remote for different teams, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll always be the first person to say in person is always the best. But when you're not able to do that, yes, remote absolutely works, because we have this powerful medium now where we can have video, we can hold up models and ship out Lego kits. Because again, it comes back to the stories, right? It's about the stories that are told. It's about the opinions. It's about the thoughts and the knowledge that are shared, and that absolutely comes through virtually. Yeah, without a doubt.
It's like the feel good vibrations can come out when you play, whether it's virtual or in person still.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it, Brandon. I love everything about this. And I have to ask, since Legos remind us of our childhood, can you share your first or an important childhood memory you have?
One pops to mind that is just, I don't know why it's so salient, but I remember playing with a neighbor friend who lived across the street. And I remember playing it, they had a tree. And it was one of those trees that had like a perfect large branch that was just big enough to crawl up on and sit on. I think we were probably somewhere in that like 5, 6 range, right? Somewhere
Yeah.
that age. And I remember playing Drive Through. And Drive Through, it was just like, no, we were just pretending like we worked at McDonald's or the bank, right? This was dating myself here. This is in the 80s where like everything was like drive-throughs were the coolest thing ever, right? You could just
Yes.
stay in your car. So as kids, we were playing drive-through. And I think one of the reasons this is a salient one is I just really remember sitting on the edge of that branch taking orders out of the window
Right.
for some reason. But then to think about what that means as someone who like has been studying play more and more, that's such it's such an amazing thing. So like you were part of your play was trying on a job for like 10 years
Yeah.
later, because that's one of the things kids do with play and adults do is we can try things. It's about experimentation because failure is safe in play, right? You just do it and you have fun with it. And maybe, I don't know, right? Maybe you don't have an angry customer or a bad boss when you're playing in that scenario, but it allows you to try things and
Yeah.
experiment. And that was the first memory that popped in my head. She's like, yeah, I never did end up, working in a drive-through. That didn't happen yet. I don't know. I guess it's probably maybe in retirement, but yeah, it was just a really fun memory.
Oh, I love it. I love everything about this. And, I have to say, we are a big Lego family. And the amount of play that takes place around Legos is just phenomenal from an adult standpoint, all the way down to my youngest that's 7.5 years old. I mean, we'll spend hours and hours. And it's not just the playing with Legos, but I liked what you just said about failure too, Failure doesn't really exist in playing. And if it does, it's not frowned upon. It's just, you just move through it. And I love how that comes through with just having this conversation, too, that I need more play in my life and on a daily to realize that when there's successes and failures, it's not what stands out. It's more how do you get through it and how do you flow through it?
No, I still think one of my greatest joys of doing these events,
Yeah.
coming up on 5 years now that I've been doing this, but it's
So
just to
cool.
see people turn into kids again,
Yeah.
right? And you see it on their face. I just did a session with a bunch of professionals, in partnership with SHRM, and we were talking about work, right? It was engagement and retention and
Yep.
employee experience, but we did it with Lego. And people were just like, it's been years since I had played with Lego. The smile on their face when they crack them open, and it's not their kids' Legos that they have to put away. Like, no, these are mine.
Right.
At least for right now, these are mine, and I get to play with them, and I'm gonna build stuff. And
Yep.
you see a different level of person that you just don't always get to see, and
Yeah.
it's really refreshing and invigorating.
I love it so much. So let's share with the audience. What are your top five reasons Legos can help build better teams?
Yes. So some of these will be, I think I've covered many of these in our talk already, but I think number one, diminished consciousness of self, right?
Love
Get
that.
you out of your brain, watching you, thinking about how you is being looked at and judged, and just jump in and go. It's just so much more enjoyable. Number two, I'm going to say this, I'm going to call it inverted persuasion. Right,
Oh.
let's stop trying to sell our ideas and shift the energy towards how do I describe it better? How do I make it better? So it's really taking that persuasive element in normal conversations and shifting it towards creativity and how do I make this unique thing come to life
Yeah.
so other people understand it. Number three, equitable expression. This is everyone builds. Everyone shares. There's no sitting out in the corner. The extroverts got to bring it down a notch. The introverts to get to kick it up a notch.
Yes.
Again, nothing massive, right? Within 90 seconds, but everyone shares. And that's extremely important because more often than not, we actually don't disagree that much, right? If you ask a team what good communication looks like and you get an answer from 10 people, there's going to be nuance. And it's important to understand that nuance, but there's nothing very likely to come up that someone will go like, no, I disagree with that. Oh, you're all fine. Like everyone's going to kind of agree on what good communication looks like, but everyone gets to share. Number four, curious listening. This one was I still find amazing because when you don't know what someone's gonna build or what they're gonna share, you actually really are curious, especially when there's a little weird looking Lego model and they did something odd with a flag or a minifigure, right? And instead of listening, and I think all too often, again, right, we're listening with a lot of times people will wait their turn to talk, right? They're not necessarily they're preloading the next thing or they're thinking about how they're gonna respond to the next question. They're not present. But again, you know that you're going to share your model and your story, and I'm going to listen and be curious about what everyone else shares as well. And then last but not least is the time compression. The magical part where somehow a ton of information is shared in a very short period of time.
So cool.
90 seconds to share a model, 30 to 90 seconds, like the amount of insight shared in such a short period of time. And that's because of all those things I just listed, right? Because we're
Wow.
not worried about ourselves. We're actually listening. We're not trying to persuade. We're just sharing our point of view. And then when we get to the end, we go, oh, we're all actually not that far apart. Here's the 8 or 9 or 10 things we all agree upon. Cool, let's go next. So
Wow.
it's just magic, at least in my view, without a doubt.
I love it, Brandon. It's so awesome. And it just seems like it's extreme playful engagement to create a professional camaraderie between everybody. And I love what you're doing. I love learning more. And the fact that it's all wrapped around Legos just makes it even so much more cooler.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much, Tara. Thank you for having me here today. This has been fantastic.
Absolutely, Brandon. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to meet with us. And again, we will share all of your information for those of you out there that want to play with some Legos and get some team building going. Brandon, again, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Tara.
We are Define Talent, a Define Logic service coming to you at Top 5. Make it a great day.